20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome into the Wednesday edition of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. Today we have a very, very special episode planned for you, and I couldn't be more excited. I'm Sarah Kelleher, joined as always by Dusty Evely and Steve Perhatch. And the three of us are also joined by one of our very own listeners, Matt Pickett. So Matt, welcome to the show. We're excited to have you here with us. How are you feeling?
Awesome. I'm just super excited to be with you guys. Hearing, you know, your podcasts, I kind of feel like it's just like joining into the conversation here by being with you guys, and it's really cool.
Well, we are excited that you're with us, like I said, and we had a ton of really great submissions, and there were so many good stories and food takes that you guys shared with us. So, you know, we decided that we're going to try throughout the off season to feature even more listeners here and there, because we loved hearing your stories and we want to get to know each of you a little bit better. So Dusty, Steve, you're also here as usual. So how are you guys doing?
Yeah, no, it's been a busy week. I feel like a lot of people, I know Steve, I know we've kind of talked about this. It's just been, for whatever reason, just kind of a very busy week. But man, it's weird today, yesterday, because things are happening in the football world. Usually we're trying to figure out what's happening. And with all the stuff we're about to talk about, it was a really busy day, not just for Packers, but in football in general. And it was nice, kind of that you get that free agency blitz and it's all going to die down, you know, very, very soon. But it was a good day of just a whole lot of activity just kind of following along. Really, really fun.
Yeah, I'm pretty exhausted. Long days of work the last 2 days. I didn't sleep much last night. So thank you to Sarah for hosting. But, you know, it's always fun. I feel like I always play third fiddle on the podcast because we got these two awesome people. And now Matt's joining us as a special guest. So I'm fourth fiddle in the podcast. So my ego is taking a little bit of a hit. But, you know, it's well worth it to have Matt join us today. So I'm excited. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, this week has definitely flown by, and there's so much happening. Like you said, Dusty, you know, usually we have to prep for a bit to try to figure out what can we talk about, what's interesting, because nothing's happening. But this episode was really fun because we were able to just pull things right away, and there's a lot that we can dive into. So, you know, with that, don't want to waste any more time. So first and foremost, probably the big news of the day on Tuesday was that Tremont Williams announced he's retiring from the game of football. And fun fact, as many of you know, he was number 38 for the Packers, and then he had 38 interceptions in his career, and he retired on his 38th birthday. So, Steve, let's hear your thoughts on his retirement, and do you have any Tremont Williams memories that pop up in your mind?
Man, he was just a quintessential Packer. Like, he just was worked his butt off, like, you know, going from an undrafted free agent that signed to the practice squad, then worked his way through the practice squad and had a great training camp, and then got his way onto the team, and then just kept making plays. Like, man, there's just, I was watching highlights because I was trying to pick. We talked about trying to have a favorite Tremont Williams moment, and I was watching some of the highlights, and I was like, man, he just was all over the place. And we said that we would try to avoid taking the pick six in the Falcons game because that's everybody's favorite moment. That was just so awesome. But I remember him being on the fourth down stop, like him and Jarrett Bush right there making that stop on fourth down to solidify the Super Bowl. And you know, with Woodson going down, with all that going down around it, it was just, I was watching that, I was like, man, that was just so cool to see him do that and have him come back at the end of his career and have the last game with the Packers, but not play, but still, you know, having him circle all the way back to the Green Bay at the end was pretty cool. So just loved watching him play cornerback.
Yeah. Matt, what were your thoughts when you first saw this news?
Well, first I was, you know, really happy for him, but then I thought, yeah, I was really hoping we could get him back as like a veteran corner, because I think the team really needs that along with, you know, a bunch of like rookie corners. So I was thinking, you know, he could be there to mentor them and, like, you know, be on the field and all that kind of stuff would be great. But, like, I mean, yeah, he's 38, so good time to retire for sure. But, you know, I mean, he's quintessential Packer, I think you said, right, Steve? Like, that's so true. You know, of course, the question that I had to answer for you guys was, like, why am I a Packers fan? And a big part of that for me is just, like, the character of the people that they bring to the team is, you know, it's an image, and maybe it's not, like, every single one of them, but there's certainly that image of, like, you know, just being people, these people with this great character, these big hearts. And man, that was Tremont. He was amazing. So really happy for him, and just a great guy.
For sure. Dusty, our next question is our next news and notes is offensive focus. So I'm going to turn to you on this one. And that was that Tom Silverstein reported that the Packers submitted a $3.384 million restricted free agent tender on Robert Tonyan, which sets compensation at a second round pick if the team were not to match an offer. So this pretty much guarantees that he will be back with the Packers this season unless someone really wants to go after him. So Dusty, you're Mr. Offense. How do you feel about this move? Were you hyped about it, or what's going on?
Yeah, I mean, I mean, it's hard not to love it. I love Tonyan. Glad he's back on that deal, especially. I don't know if he's going to be around after next year. It depends on what happens with him. But he's a guy we've talked about this before. I mean, him coming in, it was always going to be a project. He was a converted wide receiver. I think he was actually a quarterback in high school, converted wide receiver from college. And you could just see him work, man. Like, that was, I think I talked about this a couple years ago. I was looking at Sternberger. I was looking at kind of what we could expect from him in year two. And then, none of that stuff happened. But as I was watching Sternberger, I was just shocked at how well Tonyan came along. Like, he was an effort guy before, but you could tell kind of that second year, he was really kind of starting to put it all together. He really was not just a willing blocker, but like, he knew what he was doing. He wasn't perfect, but he at least, like, he was trying. He gave effort. He at least knew what he was supposed to be doing. Good route runner, good hands. Again, I don't know what's going to happen after this next year, but especially with the Packers tight end room the way it is right now. I mean, there's there's not a whole lot there. Lewis hasn't been re-signed. Sternberger, I know I'm hoping for a jump, and no one knows if that's going to happen or not. But if Tonyan's not back, especially in this offense that kind of thrives on, this condensed stuff and some tight end heavy looks and, showing run and passing and like all the stuff that you need to do, you need tight ends that can do some of that stuff. And yeah, DeGuar is going to come in and likely do some of that stuff, and Daphne, but those guys are more kind of the halfback role. So I think, you need, just if nothing else, to have bodies at the position. You just need guys. And Tonyan showed he can be a number one tight end. Like, again, he's not going to wash you out in the run game. But he's going to do work in the run game. He can dig you out a little. He can get in your way. Like, he knows what he's doing. So, yeah, I think this was a no-brainer move for them. And, again, maybe he gets expensive after next year. But this was a no-brainer move this year. And it's, I mean, I can't wait to see what he does this year as well. He's improved every year he's been on.
Yeah, and it always helps when number 12 really likes a guy on the team, too. So, he's a big fan of him. Steve, I'm curious, now that Dusty has kind of shared his offensive thoughts and, how it affects the team, I kind of want to, poise a question as if you were a GM in the NFL. Would you, trade Tonyan for a second rounder? How do you feel about that? Like, what are your thoughts there?
That's tough. It depends. I think, number one, it depends on which part of the second round you're getting. Like, if you're getting the top, 5 to 7 picks, and it's anywhere from 33 to 40, 38 maybe, that I'm starting to think about that, because number one, if somebody is going to sign Tonyan and they're going to try to make it where the Packers aren't going to be able to match it, so front load that thing for a team that has a lot of cap, like maybe the Colts or somebody like that, that would be right there. I don't know, man, that's going to be really tough for them. They might have to bite that bullet and say, okay, I guess we'll have to take the second rounder. I don't want to at this point. I would not really want to. I want to keep as many weapons around Aaron Rodgers as possible for the next couple of years. And for a guy that didn't have a single drop and led the league for tight ends and touchdowns, has a good rapport with Aaron Rodgers. I mean, I say keep it together, get DeGuar going as the H-back, get Sternberger as tight end two, have them running all over the place together. Like, let's go crazy. Let's have all the offensive weapons possible.
No, it's definitely, something to think about, but I think he'll be back on the Packers this fall, and everybody seems to be really excited about it. As far as a couple other news and notes, Rob Dombrowski reported that the Packers aren't tendering Tyler Lancaster, so that's not super surprising. And then they are tendering Chandon Sullivan. So, Matt, do you have any thoughts there? Are you in love with any of those moves, or are you just kind of like, it is what it is?
I mean, Tyler Lancaster, like, I understand that totally. With Chandon Sullivan, I saw, I think it was like a thing from Pro Football Focus on Twitter today, and it was like about how good he is, and I was kind of surprised. I guess that made me realize how, like, I was underinformed on Chandon Sullivan, but it was something like he was 11th in ranking for cornerbacks, you know, targeted over some number. I can't remember what the exact figure was, but I was like, wait a minute. He's better than I realized. We need to, like, keep him. This is great.
Yeah, no, every now and then you see a stat and you're just like, oh, okay, I didn't know that. Dusty, I saw that you had a big smile on your face when Matt was talking. Did you have any thoughts on that?
Oh, I smile anytime PFF comes up. I don't love their grading, but I mean, yeah, I like Sullivan just fine. I think he has some issues, but I think he did what he was supposed to do. I just, anytime PFF grades come up, I smile. I just, it's instinct. I can't help myself.
All right, and that covers it for Packers news today, but we couldn't not talk about what was probably the best news all around the NFL on Tuesday. And ladies and gentlemen, that is that the Bears have a new starting quarterback. And it's not Russell Wilson, like all the Bears fans thought. So according to Adam Schefter, former Cowboys quarterback Andy Dalton is signing a one-year $10 million deal with a chance to earn $3 million in incentives with the Chicago Bears. He also reported that Chicago made a, quote, very aggressive pursuit of Russell Wilson, and the Bears were told that Seattle is not trading him at this time.
Surprise.
So, yeah, this is hilarious. I love this with all of my heart. I have a friend that is a Bears fan, and I immediately texted this to him, and he just was like, why? That was his response. He just was like, why? Like, God, why does this keep happening? So I just, this was amazing. Like, the memes that were all over Twitter, and even, like, Bears fans were just like, I'm done. Like, I give up. I can't believe this. Why is our front office so bad and everything like that? So, Steve, I know you have a few buddies in Chicago. You used to live in the area. So why don't you talk with us about how you're feeling about this magnificent move from our friends in Chicago?
I mean, it's just one of those things you look at it, you're like, how does Ryan Pace still have a job? Like, after this move, how does he have a job? I get it. You struck out on Russell Wilson, but how does this make your team better? It doesn't make any sense to me. And I have a text thread with 20 guys, 17 of them live in Chicago for a big golf trip I go on every single year. I cannot read a single response on this podcast to what they said when I sent it to them that confirmed that Andy Dalton was the starting quarterback. Oh, wait, hold on. There's one I can wrote. This is a sad day. That was one of the replies. The other ones are all, you know, they all have swears in them and everything like that. So it's a lot, except one of my buddies bought hard on it. He's like, you know what? He's like, within the next 12 years, the Bears are going to draft a stud quarterback. They're going to start winning Super Bowls. We all thought he was joking. Like, no, even none of the Bears fans believed it. But he's like, no, I fully believe this. So I bet him a $100 bottle of booze that that the Bears aren't going to win more Super Bowls than Aaron Rodgers in the next 12 years. So as Dusty joked before, that's about the time that they'll be done with their rebuild, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Pace will be in year 15 or something by then. I think he'll finally have a handle on the job. It'll be really nice.
I mean, that'll be like Nagy's 15th year in a row as a 1-year deal. And yeah, I don't get it. I don't get how, I mean, my best guess is they're going to bring in Gardner Minshew in a trade as well and get him in the mix and, you know, really go crazy. But it's just a lot of fun that the Packers are going to be facing Jared Goff, Kirk Cousins, and now Andy Dalton for 6 games for the foreseeable future. It's going to be good times for Green Bay.
Matt, how did you feel when you saw this news?
Well, definitely it was peak Twitter, just memes flying everywhere, though. Really, really great stuff. But, you know, I live in Cincinnati, so I've seen a lot of Andy Dalton, and people around here have, you know, kind of cut up some slack here and there because the team around him hasn't been great, you know, when he was still with the Bengals, of course. So I kind of like the guy, you know, but at the same time, I'm really glad to see him joining the Bears because, you know, obviously he's not the best quarterback anymore. So, yeah, I'm happy about it. I'm happy about it. I'm glad he's got a job, and I'm glad we get to play him a bunch.
That's a good way to put it. Dusty, what do you think?
It's, like Steve said, it's objectively funny. Like, it's, well, and what kills me, too, is, like, all last year, it was, like, well, the Bears need to trade for Dalton. That was the thing. I know, especially when Dak was healthy, it was the Bears, when it's, Trubisky wasn't taking that step. You know, who could have seen that coming? Who among us could have foreseen such a thing? And then Foles wasn't it. It was like, well, they need to trade for Dalton. And so now they get their wish. What is this? Like a monkey's paw thing. Like, what is this? Like Matt was saying, like, yeah, I've watched my share of Dalton, man. He's perfectly fine. He's certainly tailed off quite a bit. He was never like a great athlete to begin with. There's kind of a pop gun arm, and his accuracy was fine, and he certainly tailed off since then. But like handing him $10 million to be your starting quarterback, like just outright starting quarterback, it's like there's nothing not funny about it. There's nothing, and Andy Dalton seems like a perfectly fine person, like a very nice guy. Like, I'm happy he's getting another chance to start in the league, and I'm also happy that it's with the Bears. So it's just win-win for all of us, really.
Can we also throw in the fact that they tagged Allen Robinson, who doesn't want to be there, and they're also going to trade Anthony Miller, so they're bringing in Andy Dalton, then trading away anybody he can throw the ball to.
Tremendous.
Just peak Bears.
Tremendous. That seems like really good management to me. Like, that's a good strategy there.
It's extend pace right now, right? I mean, just he's doing a great job. It's just
lifetime deal. That deal. For him.
I mean, the goal is to go 7-9, 8-8, and, you know, just compete for a little bit, and then
you want that
not be able to ever draft that. Yeah, you never want to be able to draft that top tier quarterback.
Yeah, you don't want to. Well, many people don't know this. Tom Brady was drafted in the sixth round. So just wait until the sixth round and just draft your guy. If you just do that, I don't see what the problem is here. I think they're fine.
Did you know that Tom Brady's also 43 years old?
Hadn't heard.
I didn't know that. Yeah.
Is that right?
It's crazy. Breaking news. You heard it here.
Stupid guy's going to play until he's like 50 and annoy me every single year.
All right. Well, that wraps it up for news and notes. Before we dive into some questions for Matt, Matt's questions for us, and then questions from you guys, Dusty, let's talk for a second here, because just like during the season, there was a Packers player on the Pat McAfee show on Tuesday this week. Not Aaron Rodgers, but new running back two, A.J. Dillon. So why don't you share, you know, some of your biggest takeaways from that and how that went?
Yeah, first of all, he showed up wearing a Aaron Rodgers three times MVP T-shirt. Which they're like, that's a good move. Buttering up your quarterback, it's a good move. He wasn't on long, but he talked about that's like when he felt like he belonged or like confidence throughout the year. And he said, you know, definitely the Titans game. But he said even the Bucks NFC Championship game, the few times he touched the ball there. He's like not just running, but felt like he knew his assignments really well. He said it's very weird to hear a guy say after, you know, before his first year was done, saying the game started slowing down for him as far as like just pass pro blocking assignments where he was supposed to be, all of that. He said he felt fully confident and ready to roll, which, I mean, you know, it's like you'd probably say that if he did not feel that way as well. But, you know, I looked into his eyes and I believed him, so that's fine. they talked about LaFleur's offense. And asked about like just the intricacy of it. Is it simple? Does it change week to week? And he just kept saying, man, it's definitely complex. It's intricate. There's a lot going on. He's like, I started picking it up, but there's a lot more going on than you think. And then he also just said, and sometimes like Rodgers just does something crazy. It doesn't matter what they called. So that was fun. My favorite moment, they asked him about his quads, if he was doing any work, cause he didn't want to make him any bigger. And he said he's been practicing hitting the hole sideways so that his quads won't hit linemen as he hits the hole. So that got a good chuckle out of me. I thoroughly enjoyed that. And then of course he closed it out. Tremendous quote. He talked about that he was out in California. He went to Boston College. He's out in California, and they asked him like, so is in California, like, are you going to essentially like forget how cold it is and forget how to play in the cold weather? He said, cold's in my blood. He said, Boston cold is not Green Bay cold. Green Bay cold is different. That's real cold. So felt like a guy who, you know, big body dude. He wants to run over some guys in the cold. So I enjoyed it. Overall, like, he just seems like a good dude. I like him.
All right. Well, that's great to hear. And he does seem like a good guy. I know he's on TikTok a lot, and he makes apparently some very wholesome TikToks from what I've heard. So good for AJ Dillon out there doing his thing. All right, so now we're going to hop into really what will be the bulk of our conversation today, and that's getting to know Matt and, you know, what makes him a Packers fan, how he even found this podcast, where he's from, his favorite foods, all of that good stuff. So, Matt, we have a few questions for you, and we'll kind of just rotate asking a few, and then you can answer however you'd like. So I'll start us off. Why don't you just tell us a little more about yourself? I know you mentioned that you were from Cincinnati, but we don't know a lot about what you do or some of your hobbies. So the floor is yours.
All right. Well, I was born in Wisconsin, next to Madison. Well, I was born in Madison, but I grew up in a small town next to Madison, Oregon, Wisconsin. Go Panthers. And lived in Wisconsin for the first 24 years of my life. I went to Lawrence University, where I double majored in music education and trombone performance. So with that degree in trombone performance, that's my my Twitter handle. So then through a series of events, lived in a couple different states, taught band in a couple different places. My first gig was in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, though, which, you know, people who aren't from Wisconsin never, like, believe that's a real city. But it turns out, yeah, Oshkosh, real place. So, yeah, taught band for 13 years in three different states, 7 years of high school, 6 years of middle school. And after that, my family, which is my wonderful wife and my two amazing children, we moved to Cincinnati, which is where my wife is from, and have been here for getting on almost 7 years. And when we moved here, I ended up getting a job with the University of Cincinnati as an academic advisor for undeclared students, which is just a really great job, I've got to say. But in terms of, like, the Packers, of course, growing up in Wisconsin, it's just, it's in your blood automatically. And my dad's a big Packers fan. So, you know, to this day during the Packers games, we're texting back and forth our reactions and stuff, which I just love it so much. Because, you know, the Packers feel like a connection back to the homeland, back to the motherland. So, yeah. You said, I guess, hobbies. Right now is like listening to podcasts. It's a lot of it. being a dad is like a part-time job, you know? And apart from that, I do enjoy digital photography, solving puzzles, stuff like that.
That's amazing. And I love that you're a musician. So I play in the local orchestra here. I actually like have rehearsal on the same night that we record. So I'm always like, okay, I got to leave. Bye. And then I rush so that we can record. So always nice to meet someone else who's involved in a community like that.
If you're in Cincinnati, how do you do, like, how do you get to watch Packer games? Do you have to, like, do, like, pay for something?
Oh, you know, if only there were ways to watch games that are out of market on the internet. That wouldn't that be great if that were a thing?
I mean, we don't, you know, promote that by any means.
No, of course not.
Whatever do you mean?
I've heard rumblings. Fortunately, a lot of the Packers games are on primetime, you know, or are broadcast here. So I do catch a lot of them fully legally. So,
okay. Well, that's good. That's the only type of viewing we support.
Yeah. I'm only a couple hours from there. And yeah, we get most of them here. And pre-COVID, it was a lot of, if they weren't there, we'd go to a sports bar or something to do that. But you got to get creative sometimes.
Steve, I felt like you were the Agatha meme where she's like winking with her mouth wide open when you were like, that's the only viewing that we support.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was
Steve. All right, yeah, exactly. It's always my fault, right? That's how this podcast goes. So we have to ask, you know, favorite Oreo. And you realize that if you answer incorrectly, you're never allowed back on the podcast. So think carefully, my friend.
Well, I've got to live my truth. You know, I've got to be honest with you. So it's carrot cake. Carrot cake Oreos are excellent.
Good run, man. Good run, buddy. So
we're actually going to trash. We're trashing this episode. It's going to be the first
one. We're going to have to cut this one. We're going to have to cut it early, I think.
Honestly, I'm just glad he didn't say most stuff. Like, I will accept pretty much any answer but that. Like, that's fine. Unless you said the Peeps Oreos, then we'd have a problem.
I thought he was going Lady Gaga, and then Steve's head was going to explode. That's what I was, man. I was waiting for the hammer to fall.
Oh, those are so bad.
What do you like about the carrot cake Oreos?
Yeah, I was going to get into that, actually. So, well, I love carrot cake, first of all, so I'm predisposed to like it. But then also, I feel like what you imagine the potential of something like a carrot cake Oreo being compared to what it delivers on is, it's amazing, because it's like, you're like, this is not going to be really great. It's not carrot cake. But then you try it and like, you know, as far as what you can do with an Oreo, it's kind of a reasonable facsimile. It's crunchier than carrot cake, but like the flavors are pretty much there. So, I mean, I didn't expect a lot, and it kind of won me over.
Interesting. I did see that last week was Oreo's 108th birthday. So special shout out to our friends at Oreo. We love you. As you know, sponsor us, please.
All right, we'll go non-food, Matt. As you know, there's a pandemic. It's weird. Still going on. Crazy. But after this is all over, man, after we can like go out in the world again, what's your dream vacation? What do you really want to do? Where do you really want to go?
Oh, so I've been to both the Portlands, as I think we've talked, you know, yep. on Twitter mm-hmm. about Dusty. Man, the trip that I had to both of them are so amazing. And I think just like another tour of the Portlands would be great. Of course, I've been there, so it's not something new. So there's also the, like, maybe should I go somewhere I haven't been before. But when it comes down to it, I guess really part of my draw to those two is that, like, I lived for 6 years in Connecticut right by the ocean. I'm, like, in New Haven, so right on the ocean. Man, I miss it. I miss being by the ocean. So, you know, Portland, Maine, you're right there. Portland, Oregon, mm-hmm. not too far away from the Pacific. So somewhere by the ocean for sure.
Yeah, living by the ocean is such a blessing, and it's something that when you grow up there and you live there for years, you kind of just take advantage of, and then once you leave, you're like, oh my gosh, I miss that. Like, I grew up on the East Coast in Florida, and like, I went, my middle school was literally across the street from the beach. Like, you could walk across the street and you would be there. And I mean, like, living in Central Florida now, like, it's not like I can't drive and go to the beach, but it's like not right there. It's not as accessible, and it is a change. Like, when I go home and visit my parents, like, anywhere I drive in that town, it's like the river is there and it's this beautiful scenery. And then Orlando, it's just like traffic on I-4 and like everything is horrible in the city. No, I'm kidding though. I love living in Orlando, but
sounds
but
like
I do miss the beach. Like, being right by the beach and the ocean is so, it's just so great. Okay, my question for you is, I know that you're into movies and TV. So what is your kind of like go-to guilty pleasure movie?
Yeah, so I don't live my life with a lot of regret or guilt or shame. So I had a hard time thinking of an answer for this. But if I were to say like a movie that I maybe isn't, I'm having a hard time with this one, honestly. I'm going to go with The Big Lebowski, I guess. I'm not guilty to watch it, but, you know, I think maybe it's the number of times I've seen it. That might be the thing.
That's your secret shame, yeah.
Well into the 30s or 40s at this point, you know, a lot of quoting of The Big Lebowski happens in my house. So, yeah, I'll go with Lebowski on that.
So during quarantine, have you picked up any new hobbies, tricks, anything that you're doing? Like, I mean, I know we've talked about, I was trying to do like trick shots of ping pong balls that did not last very long because my little one was not a fan of it. But anything that you picked up that was fun?
Well, I do a lot of the dishes in the house. I'm going somewhere with this person. Dishes is not the hobby. And so, you know, that's solitary work. And for years, it was just like I do it and like my mind wander. And then in the last year, I was like, you know what? I'm going to just kind of pick up podcasts and really get into it. So, like, I'm listening to Pack a Day, like, every day. Yay, Andy Herman. And, you know, on top of that, I'll often put, like, Lockdown Packers in the mix. And Dusty introduced me to Blue 58 recently, yes. Which I really love. Yeah, that's great. Weirding's awesome. So, like, those is kind of the primary ones. Some of those mixed in. So just kind of, like, getting into that has been, I think, what I always, like, really love about the quarantine is that it kind of got me to do that. Hey, quarantine.
Yeah, what can I do where I don't have to leave the house? We've all gotten creative. All right, if you could pick, you get, I guess, the end of your life, towards the end of your life, whatever. You've done amazing things. You've done on great trips. You've done just tremendous things. You've got someone to narrate your life. You've got a movie made about you, a documentary, let's say. Who is narrating your life, Matt?
Oh, easily. Ron Howard, definitely, with the work he did on Arrested Development. You know, so good.
I like it. You get you some weird, like, comedic interludes in there with your stuff. I can get down with that. I like that. It's a good answer.
All right, and then our last question just kind of brings everything home, and that's, what's your favorite Packers memory or memories, if one or two maybe stick out to you?
Yeah, so not in the quarantine times. My dad would usually be driving down from Wisconsin to Florida, where he'd spend a lot of the wintertime, snowbirds kind of a thing. And so he'd pass through Cincinnati on the way there and on the way back. So the games that we saw were unfortunately playoff games where the Packers lost, but still, you know, having him, you know, with me to actually watch the game in person with him again. I think the one I think of specifically was when they were playing the Cardinals, and there was like the two Hail Marys, you know, to what's that guy's name?
Janis.
To Jeff Janis, which was just so cool, you know. Of course, the game didn't end our way. But it was a really fun game despite that, you know? And so I think watching that game is a big one for me. But if I think of just like a play that I wish I could just like watch again and again and just, you know, inject straight in my veins, it would be the Jared Cook, you know, toe tap on the sideline. Like, that was so exciting. It was so cool.
I do have to ask, this is not on the script, but when you submitted your DM to me, your take on your hot food take was that gummy foods are trash. So I need some explanation on this as to, you know, where your hatred comes from, because there's plenty of gummy foods that are delightful, and I need to know why all of them are trash.
I mean, I think it's just the texture. I don't like the texture at all, and it gets stuck in your teeth and it's kind of funky, and nah, man. And apart from that, like for candy, I like chocolate, caramel. I don't like fruit flavors in candy, so I think that's a big part of it.
Okay. I mean, You're wrong, but I appreciate that you have a take on it. So
we've all had worse takes before on the show that we've at each other for, so we're right there. So we know how it feels. Yeah, okay, Steve. We're not just talking about food. We're talking about other tapes, too. We don't need to bring up the Antonio Brown saga.
You make one mistake, and you guys always bring it up.
Yeah, Steve's only mistake. Let that be on the record. That's the only mistake he's ever made. The
one
wrong
thing. One and only.
Not like he, you know, he wasn't on mute before when he was supposed to be talking or anything like that.
All right, so you have like one example from a year ago and then one example now. Ooh, hey, good one.
Say, last week asking Dusty about snacking on human flesh, that wasn't a mistake, right?
No, that was actually that was quality podcasting is what that is.
Oh yeah, that was really good stuff.
Listen.
I'm proud of that segment.
when you let me host, I have to dish it back to you. Like, you always roast me when you host, so I'm just returning the favor. It wouldn't be a Wednesday edition of the Pack-A-Day podcast without a little friendly banter. So,
agreed.
All right, well, Matt, that is all the questions that we have for you. Now I want to kind of turn it over to you, and you can kind of host for a couple minutes here. And do you have any questions for us? And whether it's about Packers, food, or life, anything, we're all ears.
Yeah, totally. So all of the talk about Tonyan going into this week and, you know, him finally getting tendered, I had just a lot of confusion about some of the stuff because he was amazing last year. I almost said semester. My goodness. He was really amazing this last year. And a lot of the chatter on Twitter was like, oh, you know, just let him go. What the heck? We have, like, these other people who are great. Like, oh, he's a good fit for this scheme, but is he good otherwise? And that drives me nuts, because it's like, if he's a good fit for the scheme and it's going to be the same scheme, why would you want to get rid of him? So I guess my question is, like, is there any really good argument for getting rid of him, you know, for like letting him walk if that's how it works with the tender comes out that way? And is there any reason to get down with that idea of, like, you know, he's a good fit for the scheme? Like, why does that matter in this case if we're trying to keep him? Thoughts? Sarah, what do you think?
Well, I think I agree with you on the first half of the question, that if, you know, he fits in with the team, he fits in with the scheme. He obviously had a great year last season. There's no reason to not keep him on the team. And that's why when that news came out on Tuesday that, you know, they tendered him at such a high price, basically, it wasn't shocking. They want him on the team. They want him to play a role in the offense. And kind of like Dusty talked about before with DeGuara, the two of them together in the fall is going to be really exciting, because I think then They really will establish themselves in their own set roles, kind of in that halfback role. And then Tonyan might be the guy that's really catching a lot of the passes from Rodgers and scoring touchdowns. So he might be the one that you see on the stat sheet more, but DeGuara is going to be doing a lot of work, you know, kind of behind the scenes, basically. I don't really get it when people say, like, oh, we should just let him go, because I think if it works, and obviously Aaron Rodgers is a big fan of Big Bob, that he should be on the team. So if there's a situation where they can get a really great deal, I think maybe that changes things, but I thought it made complete sense, and I never really got or understood when people were willing to just, like, let him go, basically.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, he's a good tight end. I think he did, like you said, he works very well in this scheme. For me, it comes down to money. Like, for this 1-2 year tender or something, that's fine. I like that. But if he's, like, when that deals up, if he wants to get paid like a top tier tight end, there's like three guys in the league I think you pay a ton of money for. Like, I think what he brings, especially with the scheme, you know, you want tight ends that can do some run blocking where you have to, when they're in there, you have to respect that, or they can also go down the field a little bit. I don't think you have to, like, there's so few guys that, like, you know, Kittle, Kelsey is not that great of a blocker, but he is just a huge difference maker in the passing game. Like, it's this, I think unless you can get a top tier tight end, it's not worth paying huge money for them. Because in my mind, I mean, it does take them a while to get to come along. I think that's part of it as well. It takes them a couple years to get acclimated to the league. That's the nature of just tight ends in general with what they have to learn, all that stuff. But I think unless you're going to pay like one of the top three guys, it's not worth paying huge money. Because I feel like to some extent, especially in this scheme, if you are willing to block and you can catch, somewhat interchangeable. And I think, and some of that is like this, not interchangeable necessarily, but it's broad statement. I think based on this past year with the 11 touchdown catches and all that, his price is higher than it's ever going to be. Like, I think he has numbers of a top tier tight end. I think he's good and he's very good in the scheme. I don't think he's a top tier tight end. So if they were going to pay him, you know, Kittle money, I don't think he's worth Kittle money. But I think if you get like a mid tier deal on him, like you said, yeah, he fits in. We know he works in this offense. People in the locker room seem to like him. So for this deal, it's good, but I wouldn't pay him anything close to what Kittle is making, I wouldn't think.
Yeah, I think the reason that a lot of people on Twitter were so easy to let him go was the thought process is if somebody were to assign him to a front-loaded deal, there's just no way that the Packers could actually do it. They were like, they're already in the concept of like, well, we just signed Aaron Jones, so that means we're going to have to extend Z, we're going to have to restructure Rodgers, we're going to have to extend Devontae, and like all those moves get the Packers into a spot where they can make a couple of small moves in free agency and still sign their draft class. But it's very difficult for them as well. Then if it's like a big money deal for Tonyan up front, then they're just kind of screwed. Like, there's no way that they can do all of that, add a couple of smaller pieces and the draft class. Like, I think that's kind of where people are like, well, if somebody you know, signs him, then you get that early second round draft pick. Okay, maybe then you could trade for Zach Ertz with the late fifth, sixth round pick, and like, oh, okay, those pieces make sense. So it was very, I feel like, Madden-esque of like, oh, well, we'll just move him and bring this guy in. It's no big deal. It'll fit. Like, I get where the question came from, but I think, if somebody just front loads a deal, then the Packers, they don't have much of an option besides to take that second round pick.
Quick follow up question about Tonyan too is, you know, the price could escalate on him depending on if like a bidding war happens with another team or whatever. How high do you think you would go if you were Goody in terms of how much you would pay him before you just take the second round pick instead?
Oh man, with the finance stuff, I have no idea even what they could afford. I think if we're throwing salary cap out the window just because I don't want to have to think about it for this specific question. I think what he could give you, average of $8 million a year or something, I think feels about right. Again, like I think he's good and I think he fits the offense well, but I wouldn't give him more than like 10 a year or anything like that. Eight feels about right to me, I think.
Mm-hmm. I'd go five. I think he's fine. He's definitely a product of like if you saw in Tennessee, like when LaFleur was there, tight ends did very well for their, like, Jonnu Smith, there was Delanie Walker, like always did well. And like he's got great hands. I love it, but I mean, I'm not going to overpay at that point, especially when we just, I love Aaron Jones, but they may have overpaid at running back. So I don't think you can afford that luxury of paying $8 to $10 million on tight end as well. So I'd probably cap it at five and let him go if somebody's willing to go multiple years over that.
Yeah, I was going to say five too. So thanks for stealing my answer, Steve.
It's what I do.
Stealing my answer too. I was thinking 5 to 6 personally. So yeah, totally. The context for this is last week Dusty had tweeted a picture of Elsa and had said about, like, it was mad Raylan Givens energy. I forget how he worded it.
Yeah, that's right.
And so, you know, Justified with Boyd Crowder is a great villain. I think one of the best villains, like, that you can think about there, you know. And in fiction, of course, I'm talking about fictional villains. Personally, my favorite villain, and this is kind of a recency bias thing because we're watching through Sherlock again with Benedict Cumberbatch, but the guy who plays Moriarty is just so good. So, like, that's who I'd pick. But for you guys, who's your favorite villain?
Oh, that's good.
I had someone asked me this before, and I went, I think, a little smaller just because it's an all-time favorite of movie of mine. I think for me, I love Anthony Perkins as Norman Bates in the Psycho movies. I think especially the first one, it's Perkins acting more than anything, because he's obviously a serial killer and, you know, a psycho. Hey, that's the name of the movie. but he plays this character that just, like, you know who he is, you know what he's done, and you still just feel so bad for him. He's like this kind of like sweaty, nervous guy, but like, you know what he's done, but he just does such a great job of it. And though, just even the second one especially, you see some of the fallout from that movie and you get some of him. I love just, I think it's more Perkins than anything. Like, if I'm going bigger, I'm probably going Darth Vader, but smaller, I think, and I just have seen it so many times, I think Norman Bates is just one of my all-time favorites.
I will go simple. Hans Gruber. Give me Die Hard all day long. It's still one of my favorite movies of all time. And just them going back and forth. It was just loved that movie. And he's the bad accent, all of it. It's just, it all plays into it really well. And I just love everything about that movie.
Well, Alan Rickman's so good in everything. Like, that's a
great for sure. It's true.
So I don't know if you technically classify Snape as a villain, since, like, in the end, he totally redeems himself and you find out what his real intentions were. But I think he's painted as a villain for so much of the Harry Potter series. But God, I love that character. Like, when I was reading the books, even as a kid, I was like, yes, like, this character is so good. They bring so much to the story. Absolutely love Snape. So he's definitely on my list. And then also, feel like I have to talk about Marvel too, since I always talk about Marvel on here, but I love Zemo. So I'm really excited for Falcon and the Winter Soldier because he's back. And I'm really confused on how he's back, but I'm assuming it has something to do with the blip, or the snap, whatever you prefer to call it. So, but I really like, you know, this is kind of, you know, Snape obviously had magic and spells and all of that, but I really love when villains kind of like play mind games rather than have these like physical strengths or things like that. And I just think the mind games that Zemo played, like in Civil War, were crazy. And obviously it's going to be only elevated in the Disney Plus show. So those are my two.
Nice. And after WandaVision being so good, I'm so excited for the new one coming here.
We were talking about this not on the podcast, but after the podcast, that I think for all of us, when these were announced, this was the one I was most excited for. Like, I'm so excited about this one, man.
Yeah, and I just found out, and, you know, for anyone who's listening that watches these shows and is a fan of the John Wick movies, apparently, like, the fight choreographers that, like, choreograph all the fighting scenes that are super, you know, the super long shots in John Wick that are just elaborate and really the best fight scenes, like, in those kind of movies, are the same ones that are doing it for Falcon and the Winter Soldier. So that's really cool. And there's nice. Probably going to be a lot of good, like, action scenes. So it's exciting. I really can't wait for it. You have any other questions for us? Or?
Yeah, I mean, if you let me do one more, definitely. It's my last one. So, perfect. You know, of course, I was given the question, why do I love the Packers? So just to turn it back around to you guys.
I can start since I finished last time. So, kind of a similar story to you. My dad was born and raised in Wisconsin until he was in college. So his family was through and through Packers fans, everything, you know, Green Bay fans, Brewers, Bucks, every team possible. They were huge Wisconsin sports fans. And so when I was born, I was just adopted into that huge happy-go-lucky family. And I, you know, I was a kid in little Packers shirts and all of that. And I just grew up really, you know, having this passion for the team. That was all I knew. And it was like when I met other kids at school, like I remember even as like young as elementary school, and they didn't really know like what football was or like how it worked. And I'm like, what do you mean? Like, this is such a big part of like my family. Like, we watch the games together on the weekends. Like, this is what I know. Like, I remember I used to bring like my trading cards to school in my little backpack when I was in elementary school. Like, that was just a big part of my life growing up. And then moving into middle school and high school, like, I became that one kid where it's like, oh yeah, that's the Packers chick. Like, she, everybody knows, like, she likes the Packers, we get it. So growing up, it was just a very big part of my life. And then like in high school, it was always something that I felt like just kind of brought me back home. Like, even when things were crazy and I was stressed out, like, I always knew that I had that time with my dad and my mom on the weekends to just like sit down and watch the game with them. And then I obviously would ask a lot of questions. I'm a very curious person, so I would ask, like, how does this work? Who is that? Why do they do that? And so then I kind of just learned the game naturally that way. And then going to college, I was really involved with sports media at UCF, and that's how then I started like writing for a student group there that covered the all of UCF athletics. And so then I felt really comfortable like putting words to paper about like football, how it works and everything like that. And so then that's when I kind of started writing for Cheesehead TV too, because I was like, hey, I love this team and I know so much about them and the history of them. I've literally grown up with this team, and I really want to talk about it. So that's kind of where it came from me. Like, I was just born into the Packer fandom, but I wouldn't have it any other way.
That's such a great answer. I love that.
For me, I feel like I've told this story before, but it's one of my favorites, so I'll tell it again. My family's originally from the Detroit area, and so all of my major sports teams are Detroit. I've got, you know, Tigers, Wings, and the Pistons, all of whom are currently terrible, so really, really great time. But I've heard different versions of this story. This is the one I choose to believe, because it's my favorite, is that my grandfather took my grandmother to a Lions-Packers football game. Years and years and years ago. And she, just to piss him off, she decided she was going to cheer for the Packers. And so she cheered for the Packers and she bought a pennant and brought it back home to my dad, who hung it up in his wall, and he grew up a Packers fan. So I just grew up in a Packers household, and it felt perfectly normal that at the time we were living in Florida and I was cheering for the Florida Gators and the Detroit Tigers and the Green Bay Packers. That felt natural to me. So yeah, I dodged a bullet there. Thank God every day for my grandmother, rest in peace, that she decided to piss off my grandfather that one day at a Lions Packers game. So yeah, that's mine.
And I technically should be a Steelers fan, if it weren't for like national TV rights and not playing games nationally and all sorts of stuff. My dad was from Pittsburgh. He loved the Steelers, you know, back in the 70s when they were amazing and winning multiple Super Bowls and stuff. But they, you know, moved to Chicago, moved to Whitewater, moved to, and then in Wisconsin and stuff. And just by sheer not being able to watch the games, we grew up watching Packer games. And just pretty much part of my life, like Sundays watching games, that's all I remember. I mean, we were big into baseball. I remember going to Brewers games a lot. I got to see Robin Yount's 3,000th hit. That was always really cool. Nice. But always Packers game, always football in the front yard. I remember getting like a glow in the dark football so we could play outside in the nighttime. And yeah, it's always been football, and I've always loved the Packers, like Don Majkowski, Sterling Sharp. Like, my first ever jersey was a Sterling Sharp South Carolina jersey, so that one was pretty cool. So yeah, I mean, just outside of everybody else growing up in Wisconsin, it's, you know, as you guys know from, you know, visiting here, it's a way of life, and yeah, that's exactly what it was for me.
Awesome. Great answers, guys.
All right. So now we're going to jump into questions from you guys that are listening. So we have three questions to run through today that we really enjoyed. So thank you guys, as always, for sending in some good stuff. So our first question is from Matthew, and he wants to know, with Aaron coming back, Aaron Jones, he's referring to, our needs have decreased slightly. Who do you want to see a sign in free agency now? So that's the first part of his question. And then the second part is, and what food have you never eaten, but know you never will, because you know that you'd hate it? For him, it's raw oysters. So Steve, why don't we start us off?
As far as who I would want in free agency at this point, I saw William Jackson just got signed to a pretty big deal. It's like 3 years, 40-something million dollars. So clearly my prove-it deal that he was going to get with the Packers did not come to fruition. I threw out Kenny Golladay just because the wide receiver group is really lacking right now. Like, outside of Nelson Aguilar getting big money, I don't know where that came from, but why you're giving him $13 million a year. But, yeah, I mean – I would love Kenny Golladay on the outside. There's a couple of guys on the interior. The Saints released Quan Alexander. I mean, you guys are very aware of my love for inside linebackers, so that would be pretty cool. I know he's coming off an Achilles, which is always scary, but that may mean you'd be able to get him at a little bit cheaper of a price. So, you know, it's all about value at this point for the Packers. They're going to look to try to get that going. I know it looks like Patrick Peterson's going back to the Cardinals, so that's out the window. So, you know, I'm looking for a wide receiver. I'm looking for interior lineman, and you're looking for cornerback. So I'm hoping they'll make maybe two out of three and then make a push in the draft for the other area that they missed out on. So I would say that as far as foods, Matthew, you need to eat oysters because they're freaking delicious. Mm. And if you ever go down to New Orleans and can get char-broiled oysters, they're even better. So that'd be my recommendation. But as far as a food that I know I'm never going to ever eat, it's going to be liver and onions. That's just hard pass. Just a hard pass for me. That's just disgusting. I've had my wife eats liver pate. My mom eats liver. Like, just it's a no, just a hard no for me.
Yeah, and for me, I don't know. Free agents, you're looking at the list right now. Man, people are just flying off. It's fast and furious right now. But okay, well, on short, kind of the interior defensive line. Like, I'd be all about him. Like, all of this again is dependent on what kind of money it is. I have no idea what kind of money he's gonna get, but on a reasonable deal, like, short would be great. I think like AJ Bouye, who's been good in the past. I know he's had kind of like a down year there, but he's 30, so who knows if it's maybe the beginning of the end here. But I think he could be a nice piece on the outside. You know, shortish deal. I mean, there are guys out there, even someone like T.Y. Hilton or something, as like a vet, kind of a like a third, fourth receiver vet. I don't know what kind of money he's looking for, but I mean, there's a lot of pieces out there there's a lot of really good guys kind of in that age range that I feel like could really help this team. So those, I know, like, I think, you know, Steve and I, you know, not inside linebacker, because who cares, but like, yeah, K1 Short and like interior defensive lineman and cornerback, I'd be all about. And then yeah, food, I don't know, man. I thought about this. I would try a lot of things. I have tried a lot of things. I've been out. You talked about Portland, Oregon earlier, Matt. The first time I'm out there, we've got an office out there, and so I've been out there on business trips. And the first time out there, the guy was like, "We're going to take you to a place that's like very, very Portland." So I don't even remember the name of the place now. And it was the weirdest food, just the weirdest food I've ever had in my life. And I tried all of it. I ate all of it. I was like, "Well, why not? I'm gonna give it a shot." So I kind of feel like I'd try anything. I don't know. I'm not going to eat a full meal, but I'd try just about anything. I have a hard time thinking of anything that I wouldn't eat. And yeah, Steve, liver and onions is terrible. That's why I stay away from
that. Matt, what about you?
I'm all about getting a veteran cornerback. You know, I don't know who else is even out there at this point, because it's been moving so quickly, but that's who I want to see us pick up, you know, and a bunch of rookie corners. And for food, definitely the durian fruit. If you've ever smelled one of those things, it's so foul, it's so bad. It permeates a room just to have one there. They're not even allowed on subways in like parts of Asia, my understanding is. So, like, I don't want to eat that. that's where I'm at with that.
I have cut one open. It's disgusting.
I bet.
Yeah, I feel like any food that has like a very strong smell like that is just a no-no. Yeah, that is rough. Okay. Our next question is from Dennis, and he wants to know, with time dwindling down, what is the status of the hashtag Packers finances, especially being under the cap and having enough credits to be able to afford the incoming 10-person draft class? So, Steve, what do you think about this?
I mean, we talked about it a little bit earlier. There's potential, like, from all the indications, it looks like Za'Darius is going to get an extension. I've heard, seen reports for Devontae getting an extension. They can restructure Aaron Rodgers. So there's moves to be made that if they want some free agents to bring in, that they can do those type of things. And then as far as bringing the draft class in, I don't fully expect them to have 10. I expect using some of that capital to move up in the first round, move around where they see fit. Maybe like an 8 or a 7 would be much more accurate. But I think that, you know, Goody likes to move around in the draft. So I fully anticipate him doing it again and finding hopefully an impact player in the first round. And so they're going to do what they have to do to get under the cap. And yeah, to be honest, I'm not really super worried about it at this point.
Anyone else have any additional thoughts, or pretty much on the same page as Steve?
Steve's last statement sums up exactly how I felt about all of this cap stuff. I'm just not really worried about it.
And I'm not worried about it because Russ Ball is a friggin' wizard. Like, you don't buy a house or a car without knowing if you can pay for it. So he's not, you know, signing any of these things that have been announced without him already knowing that there's a plan. So
yeah,
we'll be good. I'm fine.
Yeah, and as always, if you're looking for salary cap questions and answers to those questions, Ken Ingles is your guy. Definitely check out his Twitter and the stuff that he's putting out. I mean, this is his Super Bowl. Like, he is so good at this stuff. And I check, like, during free agency, I check his Twitter every day because I'm like, okay, everything else is just noise. Ken knows exactly what's going on and where. So definitely check him out. Our final question is a food question. It's very short and simple. From Dawn, and she asked, Thai or Chinese? So, Matt, why don't you start us off with this one?
Yeah, that's a really good question. To say it's like simple belies the complexity within it, right? So with Thai food, I feel like there's more of a variety of flavors versus Chinese. And of course, you're talking about like Chinese American, which is a very American thing, versus like real Chinese food, which is harder to find, but is, you know, out there in most metropolitan areas. So I do think in general I go with Thai food because of that variety of flavors. I love Thai food, man. There's a really good place in Cincinnati here that we probably order takeout from like once or twice a month. It's so good.
I love both. I love both, but I feel like I have to be in the mood for Thai food where I could get Chinese food like anytime and be perfectly happy with it. So I think good Thai is better than good Chinese, but I can eat Chinese like all the time. So I'll go Chinese, but it's close. I really had to think about it, man. It's a tough one.
And as a humble brag, I have had Chinese food in China and Thai food in Thailand. So clearly I'm super fancy and better than all of you. But I do agree. Like you said, if you can get Chinese food and you can get good Chinese food a lot of places, but it's a little bit harder to find good Thai food. But I mean, street Thai, pad Thai was like my go-to. Walk out after, you know, a night of drinking with buddies, and all of a sudden it's like you pay $1 and you get a whole just bowl full of pad Thai. Oh my god, it was delicious. So I would lean towards the Thai food as well.
Yeah, this is tough. I like both. I kind of am leaning towards Thai a little bit, strictly for ramen purposes. Like, I feel like Thai ramen is so good, and I'm obsessed with ramen. Like, that, I could go on for days. So, but also, like you guys said, like, Chinese food, that never misses. Like, no matter where I get it from, too, as long as, you know, like, I look up a place and it has at least a few stars on Google, I go and I get, whether it's, like, chicken fried rice and wonton soup, or I could get orange chicken. Like, it's all always good, and like, I have to really be in the mood for it. But when I there's like days where I finish working and I'm like, I want Chinese food and I want it now, and I order it. The most satisfying thing ever. So great question, but I'm gonna lean, if we're talking, you know, a little more authentic, towards Thai as well. All right, well, that wraps up all of our questions from, you know, us asking Matt questions, Matt asking us, and then answering questions for you guys. It was definitely a Loaded Question Podcast. So thank you guys for listening as always. Matt, before we go, do you have any final thoughts?
No, I just want to say thanks to you guys. This is a huge amount of fun, you know, for anybody else out there who, you know, is thinking about soliciting or rather putting in their name, that is, to do this. I recommend it. It's a blast, you guys.
Thanks. We were really excited to have you join us, and it kind of just felt like you just blended right in with us, like, and just joined the conversation. So really, really happy we could make it happen. Dusty, what are your final thoughts this week?
Yeah, no, I mean, first of all, yeah, great having Matt on. I know we've kind of talked back and forth a little bit, so great to finally meet you in person, you know, ish, yeah. Virtually in person, I guess. But yeah, this was awesome, man. Thanks for coming on. This was great. I definitely hope we do it with more people in the future, or just stick with Matt. I don't know, whatever works, man. Whatever works.
I'll come back if you want me to.
Yeah, for me, I'm getting back on the writing train. I've got a piece I've been working on and off for roughly 2 months at this point. That'll be hitting today over at Cheesehead, the 4-ish, I guess. I think it's scheduled for 4, where I'm looking at the sweep. I think I talked about this before. I'm going through old plays from Packers history. So this actually started with, like, I'm going to look at the sneak in the Ice Bowl. That's what I'm going to look at. And kind of look at that from an angle that people haven't looked at that before. Well, it's just a sneak. It's a wedge play. Like, it's not that big of a deal. So then I'll look. Maybe I'll go to that final drive. Well, I got to that final drive, and they did the sweep. They did a failed sweep. They did a counter off the sweep. And that led me to just looking at the sweep in general. So I spent the better part of 2 months watching videos, reading about, you know, as much about the sweep as possible. The sweep and all its counters. You know, tracking down playbooks and reading, you know, the Moranis book, the When Pride Still Mattered, which had a really good piece on there about kind of the sweep and also the Ice Bowl and the counter that they ran in there. So I put a ton of work into this, most of which I had to scrap because no one cares about blocking technique. But that'll be hitting today. So it's kind of a bit of a history of the sweep, kind of showing, you know, what, you know, it was not invented by Lombardi, but kind of how he ran it, how they ran it. There's no all 22. And so I've done some, animated some playbook, images because that's where I'm at right now in life and during the pandemic. So I've got some of that talking about, like, you know, where all the little things are, what they're looking for, if this, then that. And then I'm also looking at, there's 3 major counters to it as well. There's a kind of a weak side, kind of a backside sweep that was run a few times, like roughly 10% of the time, long trap. And Sucker, which was a give 54, and that was a big play in the Ice Bowl. So really, really fun. I talked about this last week, but I know Packers history a little bit. I've learned a ton from this, man. Like, just, you know, some of the guys, some of the behind the scenes players, and just some of the stuff about the era. Like, it's been a ton of fun. And I hope it's one of those things I put so much into it. I think it's probably going to bomb, but I had a blast writing it. So that's really, really fun. And I think my next one's going to be on the Favre to Rizin past open up Super Bowl, but that's going to be probably a couple weeks away. But this is definitely put a lot of time into this, but it's going to be fun. So that'll be up today over Cheesehead.
Steve?
This is actually the first year I have never filled out a NCAA bracket. So it's kind of a weird, you know, weird time around going. But I'm excited for baseball to get going. The NFL offseason's popping, so it's a lot of fun. So great time of the year for sports, especially when we're all still at home. But I just found out my wife is going to be getting her first shot of the vaccine on Thursday, so I'm excited about that. If you guys have that ability, definitely go out and get it. A bunch of my family members, my parents have all gotten it. So, you know, let's all get our shot in our arms and get back to a normal life, hopefully back in the summer. So excited for that. Thank you again for Matt for joining us. It was a lot of fun. We always love the Twitter interactions, and great to have you on the podcast. So we're looking forward to hopefully bringing on some more people throughout the off season. And especially for everybody that loves the draft, make sure you guys are following Packaday Podcast, because we will be doing a whole bunch of breaks. Not us. We will all take a break, but there'll be Packaday Podcast, people breaking down the draft for the month of April leading up until the draft. So thanks for listening as always. But yeah, great, great episode, guys.
Good stuff. And I was right there with you, Steve. I almost did not do a bracket this year. Like, I was talking actually to my parents over the weekend, and I said, like, yeah, I'm not going to do one. I don't have time for that this year. And then my friend got me at the last minute, and they're like, hey, come on, we're just going to do it for free, like, and just for fun. Like, nobody really, none of us were going to do it. So now we're just all going to do it so we can say that we did it. And I was like, okay. So during my lunch break, I made my bracket, and now I'm there, and I told myself I wasn't going to get into it, and already now I'm like looking up the schedule and everything, and I'm like, when can I put the games on or have things on mute on my TV while I'm like working from home and all of that. So I have officially been sucked back in, but it's always
peer,
fun.
Peer pressure is a real thing, Sarah.
It is. It's real. It's very real. I have a couple final thoughts. First of all, this is going to be my last episode of the Pack-A-Day podcast because a couple of weeks ago I said if the Packers kept Aaron Jones that I would have to quit. Because that wasn't happening, and then they kept Aaron Jones. So it's been a great run. Matt will be replacing me, and I'm gone. Like, this is it, guys. So, yeah.
Dude, my heart, you actually legit made my heart sink for a second. I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah, she got me.
I almost messaged you guys over the weekend when that news broke and said, like, oh, of course, like, right after I said I would have to quit the podcast if they re-signed him. But I'm like, no. I want to get a candid reaction. So I'm not glad that your heart dropped, but also kind of glad at the same time. But, no, I'm just kidding. I'll be back. But feel free to, you know, troll me on that because, wow. I literally tweeted right away. I was like, I was wrong and I'm proud. Like, I'm going to own it. I'm totally going to own it. But my other final thought is if you're, you know, big fan of Pack-A-Day and you follow a lot of Cheesehead TV stuff as well, Tyler Herrick, who runs the Cheesehead TV social page, you know, all those great videos and memes that he puts out there. He's a really good guy. He just started last week a new show, live show for Cheesehead TV called Late Night Pack. And it's on at 10 p.m. on Wednesdays. And the first episode was super cool. It was basically him talking with Aaron Nagler and Corey Behnke, and they were talking about the history of Cheesehead TV and how it started, how the two of them met, which was a crazy story that I had never even heard. So listening to that was super interesting. And it was kind of nice. Like, I was just meal prepping and doing things around my apartment, and then I just had it on and was listening. So definitely check that out. Tyler's a super cool guy, and he does a lot of great work for Cheesehead TV. So if you're looking for a new show or a new thing to listen to, like Matt, I know you're into podcasts. So here's another one you could potentially add to your list. But, you know, Matt, like everybody else said, thank you for joining us. This was really great. And we're excited that we got to know you a little bit better. I know you've always sent us in some really great questions and funny food takes. So it's nice to spend some time with you today. So that'll wrap it up for today's episode. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at Sarah Kelleher 4, at Steve Perhatch, at Dusty Evely. And if you want to, you know, give Matt a follow, too, he is at Matt Trombone. So that'll do it for today's episode. We'll see you guys next week. And as always, go Pack, go.